All right, we can go. I thank the Lord for being here. I want to talk a little bit tonight because of next week. We're going to have a prayer session. It's the first Sunday of the month. I want a prayer session regarding the Holy Spirit. And the reason I'm having a kind of difficult time defining what kind of prayer session it's going to be, it's that I want to see a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this church. Now, not saying that it's just for next week only, it's for way after that. I want to pray that God will move mightily in this congregation. And what does that mean? He may heal. All kinds of things. He may prophesy. He may do all kinds of stuff that he could do for us and help us to lead a better life. And unless you got to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 is what we call the love chapter, chapter 14, and it gives you of how the Holy Spirit operates in church, in an assembly. When I say in church, I don't mean that because I know we're the church. We're the church body. But in a gathering, in an assembly, there are specific things that the Holy Spirit does and you should allow him to do. And the thing is, a lot of times I think we quench the Spirit. So this is just a very brief, we're going to go through multiple scriptures, even though I've got one shown up there. That's not coming until later. Well, first of all, the very beginning of this, so the title is the Holy Spirit. At the very beginning of this, we have to recognize, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is God. And you will be, maybe not be surprised, but I have talked to some people who do not believe in what we refer to as the Trinity. It's not mentioned in the Bible. But I'm telling you, there are three offices, is that what you want to refer to it as? Or three distinct personalities. There's God the Father, God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And I can't explain it, but when Jesus was baptized, this is where your theology needs to kind of catch up, because the Holy Spirit, so Jesus was in the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove, and a voice from heaven, God the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so, yes, there are three, but they act a little differently. Jesus, this is the Spirit of Jesus, if you want to say it that way. I can show you in John when he says, I'm going away, and the disciples were very sad. And he told them, he said, well, unless I go away, he said, the Comforter won't come. And the Comforter is a word that means that he won't leave us as orphans, fatherless. And so the Comforter did come at the day of Pentecost. But if you read carefully in that scripture where he's talking about the Comforter, almost at the very end of it, he goes, I, talking about himself, I will come to you. I should have put that up there, but I didn't. But anyway, Jesus spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He and his and the Spirit is God. And so I want to show scriptures that prove that. When Mary, an angel Gabriel, appeared unto her, said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto her, because she asked, well, how's this going to happen? Said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that, and my conscience will not call the baby Jesus a holy thing. The other translations, I'm not a King James only. So the other translations will refer to him as the Holy One, or the Holy Baby, or even just baby. I will not call Jesus a thing. And even though it's in the King James has some flaws. And so I'm not going to do that. My conscience will not let me. So the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And so the Holy Spirit is God, because that was his Father, if you want to think about it. Think of it that way. So I had this question asked me one time. Can you pray to the Holy Spirit? What do you think your answer is?
That's not what the Bible says.
But he's God.
Well, it's the Spirit of God. The three in one, that's the Godhead. And they are of the same Spirit. Just like...
Well, if that's the case, you can...
We're the same Spirit too, but we're still two distinct people.
Well, but it's, then if that's the case, you can't pray to Jesus. That's not the model he gave us.
Well, he said, do all you do in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can pray to the Father, you can pray to the Spirit, you can pray to Jesus, even though in the model prayer he does that. But a lot of times we'll say, Holy Spirit, guide me, you know, guide me in this. That's a prayer. But no, you can pray. I believe you can pray to any of the three, because you're praying to one, if that makes any sense. You're all praying to the same God. And so... So yeah, but no, he does say when we address the Father, we come to him in what? The name of Jesus. Well, God is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is also a spirit. He's also God. So I think we're praying, we may be saying the same things, but we're praying to the same deity. It's all God. And so I believe we can. But you know, but I was talking about the Holy Spirit being kind of mysterious. We have this mysterious love affair because the Holy Spirit is something we can't see. We can't see the Holy Spirit. It's like that derecho. Do y'all remember so many years back, we had a vacation Bible school. There was a derecho that came through and it just knocked down trees, just knocked all kinds of trees down. Well, the wind did that. And spirit literally means breath. So think about that. The wind knocked down all of those trees in just one big swath as it came down. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it. You see what happens to it. And so it says here, Jesus even made comment, and I want to read this out of John 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we don't see it. We don't understand. I don't understand why someone who can be a complete sinner one day and the very next minute be touched to the point that he just devotes his entire life, gives his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the Spirit. Yes, praise God, because I think that probably is the way it happened for all of us. At some point in time, something convinced us. What's that something? That something's the Holy Spirit. Convinced us that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Savior. And so I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that, of course, I can't see it, but I see the effects of it. I see when the Holy Spirit is dealing with people. I see the Holy Spirit when they're living him out, living it out, okay? Living out the Christian life. I can see the Holy Spirit. I can also tell sometimes, because we don't judge people particularly, but we can judge them by what? Their fruits. Their fruits. So we look to see what their fruit is, and basically that's kind of behavior. Look to see at their behavior. You can claim one thing, but you can live a different way. And we can see that, and we can judge for ourselves and get an inkling, an idea as to what kind of life you're living. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Now, you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit being in you. You can't be saved. Now, I'm not going to do that tonight, but there's a subsequent baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is inside you when you are saved. You can't be saved without him.
Well, that's when he comes to live within you at the time of repentance, am I right?
Yes, and I agree with that.
And he also says, without no man will see God.
Yes. Unless the Spirit draws you, no man. Exactly. You're quoting my scriptures, and I like that. I like the fact that you know these things, because so now you see how the Lord has implemented His salvation plan. It's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws you to Him. Okay, and so that's how you're saved. But then, you know, I don't want to get off in all these other tangents about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all the and sanctification. There's all kinds of different arguments and the ways of going about that. And we're not all going to agree. I can tell you that now. We're not all going to agree. But I hope you will agree with what the Bible says about the fact that the Spirit lives within us. Because He tells us, Paul tells us, now, unfortunately, when he was speaking to the Corinthians, this particular piece in the letter had a lot to do with the sexual component. They had a lot of sexual problems there in Corinth. And so Paul says, flee fornication. And I'm putting this scripture so that you get the context. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Okay, so he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So you don't want to be using your body for strange things against God's will. So he's saying, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your temple is a sacred place. Your body is a sacred place. And so you can't just go out and sin, and here in particular, he's talking about sexually. But the thing is, he says, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, okay? And ye are not your own. He's asking that as a question. Don't you know this? Don't you know this? Because he said, for ye are bought with a price. What was the price? It was the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. That was the price. And so therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so you have to understand that. And so you have to be led by Him. And we're going to go over that in just a little bit more. But the command is, and we hear Eddie talk about this a lot, says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this might sound interesting to you, but on the day of Pentecost, the 120 that were, I don't know if they were in a particular room, but it says in the upper room, which could have been the rooftop area, or they may have come down by that time, but they had been praying, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, like fire, broke off into pieces as if cloven tongues, and landed on each of the people's heads. And they spoke in the different languages of the people that were visiting Jerusalem. And what were they doing? They were praising and glorifying God. You see, the Spirit will always glorify and bring edification to the church, but glorify God. It will never say anything contrary to the Word of God. So if somebody is claiming to speak from the Spirit and it contradicts the Scriptures, you can push that aside and ignore it because that's not true. The Spirit will not say that the Lord is accursed. And by the way, that was happening back then in that time, that Jesus was accursed. The Spirit will not ever say that. And so here in Ephesians, and I know I'm going through this kind of quickly. Sure.
Terry and I were talking about this yesterday before maybe. But I said, you know, Terry, when I talk about God and the Holy Spirit, I talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I said it was like Jesus went to the cross for us and he looked at the Holy Spirit in my own words and he said, Holy Spirit, I've done my job, now you do yours.
Yeah.
He handed him over because from there on in, everything we do seemingly is ordered of and by the Holy Spirit.
Well, isn't it interesting how the title of the book, right after John, is referred to the Acts of the Apostles? But really, it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because that book is full of everything that the Spirit was doing and was how it was moving. And that is one of the books that I read as a catalyst for what I'd like to see at this place. I mean, in one day, Peter preached a sermon that in one day 3,000 men got saved. Now, who knows how many women and children, but 3,000 in one day. And the Holy Spirit, it says they were pierced in their heart. And if you do a word study on the word pierced, Jesus was punctured with a spear. But that's not the same word as being pierced, even though the translation may call it pierced. Pierced in your heart almost means like a sword went completely through. Started from this end and came out the back. That's pierced. So if you do a word study on that, the Holy Spirit just literally split their heart. Cut them wide open. Revealed their sin and their need for God. And that's why so many came to him and kept asking the disciples, what must we do to be saved?
Well, isn't that what he does now?
Yes, absolutely.
He cuts going and coming.
Yeah. Yeah, like the two-edged sword. Sure.
You know, if you start to do something wrong, you'll feel a prick in your heart. You will feel that.
If you ever reach a point to where your conscience doesn't bother you, then your conscience has been seared. I'm concerned for our country, for our state of New York. Anybody who can abort babies after they've been born and stand up and clap about it, about their what they've accomplished, has had their conscience seared. And they need a good dose of the Holy Spirit to come upon them and save them. And oh my goodness, I've read some articles and stories where people in the abortion clinics, when babies are born alive, they have had to get out of that because they don't like the idea of a living human, as small as they are, just laying there and nobody taking care of them. Just laying there. They've had to quit their job. Their conscience bothered them. And so we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit because Paul says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, I did a word study on the word excess. That's like reckless abandon, no moral restraints. In other words, I don't care. I'm just going to be drunk and I'm going to act any old way and any sour way I want to act. And I don't care who you are or what you do. Have you seen, what's the name of that show, dear? She watches it. It's called Live PD, I think. Anybody else watch that? Yeah. It can be pretty interesting. Every once in a while, I'll walk in and catch her watching it, and then I get caught up in it. I'm sitting there watching it. But how many people flaunt the law? I mean, here you have the authority figures right there in your face, and they're just doing their job, but yet you got people who have no moral restraints, none. But he says, but be filled with the Spirit. So the difference between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit is if you're drunk with wine, you're going to live a life in excess, reckless abandon, no moral restraint, conscience seared. You know, Eddie was talking about that this morning. What is your opinion of Jesus Christ? Because a lot of people have different opinions and some of them are way, way wrong. And the opposite of that is to be filled with the Spirit, because then that's when he convicts you of sin. Just because I'm a Christian, and people need to learn this real quick, just because any of you are a Christian doesn't mean you will never sin. Oh, if that was true, man, I wouldn't have so much trouble. Yeah.
What would be in you for heaven?
Exactly. But we... And you're going to see in a minute in another scripture, it's the spirit and the flesh, they fight against each other. The spirit and the flesh fight against each other. It is. And it's a tug of war, and Paul even made comment to where he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And he said, but the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And it's kind of, when you go to reading it, you got to really keep track of what he's saying, because the thing is, it's so easy to fall into a trap that Satan lays out for you. I don't know how all this works, but I do believe Satan can lay traps for you. And if you're not careful, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you can fall into these traps, and then you're praying to the Lord, help me. Abba, Father, get me out of this, please. So he says here, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that in itself is a command. And then, of course, it's not just enough to be filled with the Spirit. When the apostles, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but if you read the book of Acts, it talks about how at different times and at different things that occurred to them, what? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, weren't they already filled when they were baptized? No, you can be refilled. You can be filled again. You can be filled over and over and over. And that's what we need. If we could have that on a daily basis, that God would refill us with His Spirit to where we would not have the desire even to sin, that, you know, it would be so great. Yeah, what we need heaven for if we didn't have to sin anymore, you know? But no, we fight against that, and it is a battle. And when we go to prayer, by the way, folks, that's one of the reasons I'm holding these prayer vigils is because Satan hates it the most when a church starts praying. That's when you mean business. If the church becomes a house of prayer, Satan is going to attack it. You better get ready for battle. You better get ready for battle. Satan will want to prevent. He will want to distract. He might even put people in there who will try to hijack the service. But he'll do whatever he can to keep you from becoming a house of prayer. Now, yes, you should have a personal prayer life as well. But if you read the scriptures, especially in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4, talks about the apostles, because there was a distraction coming up, they said their widows weren't being fed. Okay, some of the widows were missing out on some of the charity work, the money that was given. And the apostles said, we can't stop what we're doing to wait on tables, so pick out 7 men. And they did. They picked out 7 men, and one of the requirements was they had to be full of the Holy Spirit. Now, if I were to ask you to pick 2 or 3 people out of this congregation, how would you gauge whether or not they're full of the Holy Spirit? Don't answer that. I just think about that question. How would you gauge that? How would you gauge that question, whether or not they are full of the Holy Spirit? Well, they knew back in the days of Peter and Paul and all that, they could tell. They could tell. They picked out 7 men. And by the way, they weren't apostles, but Stephen did miracles. Other people did miracles. Philip did a great work in the evangelist up in Samaria. And I mean, it just all kinds of things. And these were good men. But chapter 6, verse 4 said that they would devote themselves to the ministry of the word, and a lot of people don't see this, and prayer. And prayer. The word and prayer. The two go together. You can't separate one from the other. You might try to study the word, but if you're not putting any prayer into it, then it's not doing you as good as it could do you. Oh, my computer just...
Brother Earl.
Yes.
Don't you think that the Holy Ghost excites us at different times? I mean, it may be in song, but you can feel the Spirit like it comes down on you. I mean, you know, there's just excitement in it. I mean, Eddie, he starts speaking in tongues, and you just feel the...
Well, there's times when the Holy Ghost can move on I'll just use you as an example. It can move on you and not me. And so, yes, you're absolutely correct. The Holy Ghost can excite even one person or a group of persons in a particular service, but someone else over here, they may not feel anything. But what I want to pray for is this coming Sunday night, next week, is that it won't be just here and there. I want to see a church-wide excitement, a church-wide burning up, okay? I mean, the fire that is inside you might be a little flame right now. Everybody probably has at least a little flame, but I want to see it built up where it's boiling over. I mean, to where you're just on fire for God. We always used to say that a lot. You know, I'm on fire for God. Well, you look at the congregation from our perspective. Jenny, I still remember the day. God bless your heart. I was so glad you did it. But we were up here singing Praise the Lord, or what's the name of the song? Praise Jesus or something like that. Praise His name. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him. Or something like that. Let us praise Him. I forgot the title. But anyway, at the end of the song, you kind of got exasperated and you went, praise Him, people. Praise Him. Because everybody else is just out there standing like a knot on a log, you know? And it's just like, there's no excitement there.
Yeah, when the Holy Ghost comes down, I think, in church or in home, I want to dance.
Sure.
I have to watch in the living room. I mean, you know, I know when it comes through the television and the preacher is preaching, and I was watching you just few weeks ago, and this man, he was preaching, had a big choir behind him, and he got to his end of his message, and the choir starts singing, and he turns around and says, stop that music, stop it. He said, the Holy Ghost wants me to do something, and people got saved.
Oh.
You know, they got saved.
So.
And you can feel it. I mean, we used to call it when the Holy Ghost falls on them, you know.
Right. Right.
You still have the Holy Ghost, but there is excitement there through the Holy Ghost.
Well, and the people that I think of when you talk about that are the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. Okay, they were so disappointed that Jesus had died, and they hadn't seen Him yet. And so they're walking along, and up comes some third party. They don't know who it is, and he says, what are you guys talking about? And they look at him like, you know, man from Mars, said, are you the only person in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happened recently? And he said, what things? And so they tell him, well, and then this third person says he started from Genesis, went all the way up through the books of the Bible, and he talked about how Christ must suffer. And so it was late in the day, and so they come to the house, and said, and this third person was getting ready to walk as if he was going to go on down the road. And they said, no. He said, come on in and take bread with us for a little bit. And they said, and when he broke the bread and blessed it, all of a sudden their eyes were opened. And then they made the statement that I love the most. Did our hearts not burn? You know, and what did they do? It was probably a 7-mile trip, folks. They made a 7-mile trip back to where they came from to let the disciples know that they had seen the Lord. Because when he opened up the scriptures to them, see, there you go, the word. When he opened up the scriptures to them, their hearts burned. And so if you are a person who does not read the scriptures, I don't know how much excitement you're going to get. You know, you may have some emotional times within church, sure. But unless you are a student of the scriptures, I don't know that you will have a constant or at least a oftentimes reaction to the Holy Spirit and to the move of the Holy Spirit. What I always pray for is a discernment. I'd like to be able to know when it's the Holy Spirit and when it's not. Because I'm telling you, you'll have people who will falsify The devil will, he knows how to do it. He knows how to imitate. So let's be filled with the Spirit. Well, I'll go through these kind of quick. This is the scripture that I actually put up on the title page. So in Galatians 5 and 14, it starts out this way. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, if we could just get hold of that one and do it. But he's talking about these people in Galatians. He said, but if ye bite and devour one another, and then he's talking specifically in bickering and strife, people who call strife, people who bicker all the time, people who argue all the time, this is not what Christians are supposed to do. They're biting and devouring one another, and he's saying, well, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. In other words, you could be eaten up in whatever you start. And even James talked about the tongue. The tongue, isn't it a little member that can start such big fires? Just the tongue. And then he goes, and this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, the word in there could also be by. Walk by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It's being led by the Spirit. When you are led by the Spirit, and how do you know what the Spirit is leading you? Well, first off, get in here. Get in the Scriptures. Get in the Scriptures, and you will know what Jesus, what God, what the Spirit is telling us, because all of this was God-breathed. In other words, it was Holy Spirit-inspired, all of this. So if you want to be led by the Spirit, start here in the Scriptures, okay? And then He will bring those Scriptures to your remembrance at a time when you need it the most. There are times when you might not, you probably like me, you might not know chapter and verse, but you know it's in the Bible. Okay, this is not what Eddie talked about this morning. This is not hearsay theology. You know the Scripture. You might could even quote it. You just might not know where to put your finger on it in the Scriptures. That happens to me a lot. I know this. I know a lot of the Scriptures. I just don't know exactly where it is. I'd have to find it. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the thing. See, the Word will how do I say this? Once you start using the Word, it will kind of cascade. It will feed on itself. And it'll just cause this, starts out as a ripple. Maybe you've seen a ripple in a little pond. But then it kind of like in an ocean. It turns out to be a big old wave. And I hope for a tsunami of the Holy Spirit, a tsunami of the move of the Holy Spirit, that the gifts would be manifested in this local church, in this local church. So he says here, walk in the Spirit. This is being led by the Spirit. Why? So you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And lust doesn't always mean sexual. It could mean any kind of craving for your body, a drug addict, a drunkard, people like myself who overeat, and things like that. You won't fulfill those kinds of lusts of the flesh. So walk by the Spirit. And this is what we were talking about earlier. I think it's Eugenie or maybe Eugene, one of them, said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. This is where the two fight against each other, okay? The two fight against each other, and the Spirit against the flesh. And we better learn this, because this is how the devil tries to split us apart, because he knows our human nature is contrary to that of the Spirit. And these are contrary from one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, yes, I want to do good all the time. I don't want to sin. But what happens is, sometimes I sin. And you're right, Glenn, my conscience bothers me. And when it bothers me, when I say something out of anger or when I do something out of anger, my conscience bothers me. It used to be, I'll tell this on myself, it used to be when I was a child, which when we grew up, we never had a lot of money. If I found a dollar bill on the ground, I'd snatch it up, stick it in my pocket. I was a dollar richer. So I thought, well, yeah, probably would now. But I found, you don't know how many times I found, like, I found a 50 one time on the ground in a cafeteria. How do you go about asking, hey, did you lose this? Everybody's going to say, sure, I lost it. I did. I dropped it. And I had a 50 in my pocket. And I thought a moment, and I went up to the cashier, and I said, did anybody claim to lose any money? She said, no. I said, okay. I said, just letting you know, I found some money, but I said, if they can tell me how much they think they lost, I said, I'll be glad to give it back to them. I said, but I gave her my name and everything, my number. And it might have been 2 hours later, this poor soul was looking for his money. He had pulled his wallet out of his pants pocket, and inside was a 50 in the pocket itself, and it fell on the floor. And he knew how much it was, so he came over and he talked to me and he said, did you find some money? And I said, yes, I did. He said, was it $50? I said, it sure was. So I gave it back to him. So it didn't bother me. It didn't even cross my mind to keep it. I was going to wait on someone to declare it as theirs. Whereas maybe in times past, I might have would have stuck it in my pocket and thought of myself $50 richer. But I couldn't do it. Not in good conscience, I couldn't do it. So, because I, you know, the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's how I would have somebody do for me if I lost some that kind of money. Well, the very last verse in that particular one, we got two more verses to go here. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, you don't have these rules and regulations that you have to obey if you follow the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to obey all the good things and all the right things to begin with. All right, as we go on, I know I'm running a little behind, but we just have a few more scriptures to go here. So you can see the effects of the Spirit, and here they are. And this is one of the things I was asking you earlier. How would you know if somebody was full of the Spirit? Well, this is how you would know. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the first thing. If a person doesn't have love, well, they may not be quite full of the Spirit. Okay? Because if you don't have love, like I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is what we refer to as the love chapter. It's sandwiched right in between two chapters that talk about the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, which I think that's kind of what you were touching on a little bit. Joy in your life, peace, long-suffering. Now, the King James uses the word gentleness, but the word study actually means the word kindness. In fact, it's kind of funny because gentleness comes a little later. So long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, these are the things that you look for when you're looking to see if somebody is full of the Holy Spirit, because this is the fruit of the Spirit. And the very next verse to that is the word meekness, which as a word study actually means the word gentleness. So it's kind of funny, but anyway, meekness, temperance, against such, there is no law. Temperance means being able to have self-control. You ever known anybody who can just blow up at anything? Blow up at anything and everything. Well, that means they don't have much temperance. They're not full of the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, exactly.
You have it first before it's going to work.
You have to have the Spirit in you,
right. And
it has to be dwelling in you. And it's like Eddie said, you don't clean your fish before you catch them. Of course, there's people who don't quite know all these things yet. A baby Christian is not going to be producing all the fruits of the Spirit right away. But they will grow into that. That's how you know they're growing. Huh? What's that? Hopefully, sometimes, and I was actually going to have a message on that, sometimes people don't grow beyond a certain point. Their growth gets stunted.
That's the lesson was about this morning.
Yeah.
Being mature. You know, a baby has to learn to crawl before it walks. If you feed that baby nothing but milk for its whole life,
yeah,
it's going to be depleted for a lot of other things that it needs.
Exactly. It won't get the nourishment it needs, and its growth will be stunted.
You've got to have some solid food. We have to have solid food.
Yes, absolutely. And thereby, we will grow into these fruits that he's talking about. So, and that's a good point. I mean, we have to do that. And the last scripture I want to mention, there's all kinds of things I could say about the Holy Spirit, but time doesn't permit. But the thing is, and this is one of the things I love about the Holy Spirit, probably one of the most things I love about the Holy Spirit, is that he helps me to pray. He helps me to pray, because sometimes I don't know how to pray. And even Paul mentions that. He knew people had trouble. So in Romans 8, in 26, and this is another one of those King James things, I cannot bring my conscience to call the Spirit an it. I use the word him or himself. So likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I don't know if these are audible groanings. Do they come from me? I remember I went to the hospital one time, and Deronda was probably one of the first times she ever saw me in that condition, but it's happened multiple times, is I sat down to pray for somebody, and all I could do was weep. I couldn't speak. All I could do was just weep. Tears were just streaming down, and I mean puddles. Yeah, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit, the groanings. I didn't know the words to say. And then finally, every once in a while, I even told her, I said, my legs won't move. I can't stand up. I said, something's holding me here. And then all of a sudden, the weeping would come back. And it was just went on and on. And I probably scared her. I don't know. But that's happened to me before, and I had no idea why. I knew somebody needed prayer, and the Holy Spirit was interceding. And that's the great thing I love about him, is because even when I don't know the words, he can take that. He can take my sighs, my groanings, and my, you know, like this, and he can turn them into a prayer. Into the prayer that is toward the will of the Father. And I believe that's when I know I'm heard. I've been heard. And so that was one great experience, actually multiple times, but it was one of the best experiences, even though, and then all of a sudden, it's like it all lifted. So sometimes when the Holy Spirit falls, Brother Tom, yes, there is excitement. There can be, or he may burden you with something very heavy.
Sure.
He may burden you with something very heavy, and that's what he did with me. Now, I don't know, each of us have a different personality, and Eddie has often told me that it depends on the person as to how they will react to the Spirit. It's kind of like a radio, whether you're tuned in to a particular frequency or whatnot, you know, a radio, how you know how it works. But the Spirit works, might manifest himself differently with Jenny than he would with me, or with Rick, or with Tom. But it's the same Spirit. And I could have got into that, and you know, the gifts of the Spirit and all that stuff, because all of that works for the what? The edification of the church. There's no gift given to anybody to lift them up. Never has it been said in the scriptures that God's going to give you a gift so that you could be exalted. Never, ever, ever has it said that, and never will it say that. It is for the edification of the church. And in one part, and we'll go over this Sunday, next Sunday, there's a portion where it says, pray for the best gifts. Now, I have to leave it up to you to figure out what are some of the best gifts.
Well, I think it says it itself is prophecy.
Prophecy is foretelling. It does. It's not always telling future events, but it also could be...
Well, I mean, King James says...
Yeah. That you may prophesy.
Yeah, prophesy.
Well, if you... Yes.
When it's interpreted the way I see it, it's equal to prophecy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's actually part of it.
Right, when it's interpreted.
Yes, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians talks a lot about the interpretations of tongues and how tongues are to be used in an assembly. I'm convinced there's a lot of people who have not ever read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. They misuse it just like the Corinthians misused it. You know, they misused it. But even Paul himself, you got to admit, Paul himself said, I speak in tongues more than all of you, more than ye all. So I, you know, you can pray in tongues. I know that. Yeah. In chapter 13, he talks about that. He says, now faith abides, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So I've already given you quite a bit of ammunition about the Holy Spirit. I've sort of went over time, and I apologize, but I feel that this is important stuff that we should know, and I probably should have broken it up into multiple messages, and maybe next time I'll revisit that and we'll do that. We'll break it up into multiples. Let's all stand. I'll say a closing prayer. And if anybody wants to be prayed for, I'll be ever so glad to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for teaching us about the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for a great move of the Holy Spirit in this congregation. I pray that on every soul here tonight and those that'll be here, God, that you will make our hearts burn for you, Lord, that you will give us a desire for you, Lord, and that you will help us in every way to seek your face because you are worthy to be sought, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, so as we walk out these doors, let us be led by the Holy Spirit. Let us not, Lord, fall into the trap that Satan wants us to call strife and bickering and all these things and to bite and devour one another. But let us be led by the Holy Spirit and let us be walk in the Holy Spirit so that we can do those things that Christ would have us do. So we ask by his authority and in his name, amen. Praise the Lord.